I hurt myself today.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema. Got some new equipment, boys.
Shouldn't we
have any more of these technical issues.
We do.
Yeah. We've got a long injury update, though. Unfortunately,
it doesn't include our equipment, though.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll talk positives here, Scott.
Okay.
Trying to be a positive show.
I'm just trying to get right into the meat and potatoes of this thing.
Okay. Uncle Stan doesn't yell at me. Yeah, it's fine.
Nope. You know, when you look at this loss, 34-17 to the Minnesota Vikings, a lot of things jump out in this game. When you have a lot of players coming into this game injured for the Buccaneers, especially on the defensive side, Brent Grimes was a late scratch with the shoulder injury. Quan Alexander, despite telling everybody he would listen Sunday after the game, and all throughout the week he was going to play, didn't practice, and was held out. Chris Baker and Jacquees Smith, defensive linemen, did not make the trip due to illness. They've got the flu hitting one buck in your place this week and last week as well. And then you've got this game where the Buccaneers were dropping like flies. It reminded me, guys, of week two at Arizona last year, where it was a blowout loss. This team lost a lot of key players due to injury, and they were coming off of a pretty feel-good win in week one.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of similarities there. I don't know that it was as bad as that loss last week. Last year against the Cardinals. From a score perspective. I mean, the Buccaneers had a chance to get back in that game in the third quarter. You never felt like they had a chance to get back in that game against Arizona. But from an injury standpoint, last year they lost Robert Ayers and Doug Martin in that game, and Luke Zocker.
Cecil Shorts, who wasn't a huge contributor, but he was another player that they lost in that game.
And today you saw, you know, just guys going down and going down often. I mean, it was not good for the Buccaneers on the injury front. And
well, here's a list right here, right?
So go ahead.
We've got those players that were mentioned that didn't even play on the defensive side, and then Noah Spence, who suffered a shoulder injury in week four last year, dislocated a shoulder, played through it with a harness all of last year, had off-season shoulder surgery. They kept him out until training camp, came back in camp, the preseason, felt fine, was fine last week, dislocates the same shoulder again.
Not
which
great.
Is a big concern.
Not great.
For him and this pass rush, which is non-existent. We'll get to that in a minute. Throughout the rest of this season. That's an injury that's just not going to go away. He's going to have to deal with it like he dealt with it all of last year, unfortunately for him.
This may be an injury that hampers him a long time. Dislocation injuries. You know, my son played youth football and plays high school football now, but a couple years back he dislocated his knee, and the orthopedic explained to me that certain people's sockets are a little flatter, if that makes any sense, and they're more prone to it. And once you have it, you're more prone to have it again. Now, certainly we hope this is just a fluke thing. Gerald McCoy had two biceps injuries and came back, hasn't had any problems for years since then. You know, you're hoping this isn't a thing that continues for Noah Spence, but it doesn't bode well for his shoulder when the guy has reconstructive surgery, spends all this time rehabbing it, and in week two, the same thing happens, unless it was just a fluke again.
Yeah. It's sad to see because he's a heck of a player that I think was going to have a breakout year. Hopefully, with his experience playing through this injury last year, he can somehow navigate this season. It's not going to be 100% injury-free Noah Spence. It's going to be the guy that is hampered by an injury, right, and we'll see how he deals with that. But he wasn't the only one.
He was on the field, though, like, are we getting to that topic? Even when Noah Spence is on the field, they can't rush the passer.
Yeah,
they can't get to the pass. Outside Gerald McCoy, Gerald McCoy gets pressure, nothing else happens.
Yeah.
It's like the other three dudes are just locked up.
You know what?
And Gerald McCoy's getting doubled.
Yeah, we saw this back in preseason, and I pointed it out. We've talked about it as well. It was pretty scary that the only sacks that came from the starters were, I think, the Levante David blitz, and I think Kendall Beckwith had a blitz as
it's
well.
Not good.
And
never good.
And Noah Spence had one.
Right.
That was pressured from a blitz. Robert McClain came in, I think it was against the Jaguars or the Browns. And so we didn't see this pass rush at all in the preseason, just like we didn't see the running game last year in the preseason, and it rears its ugly head in the regular season. So as I'm writing for the website tonight, Dirk Cutter's right. They're going to have to roll with the guys that they have. There's no pass rushing saviors on the streets.
Right.
I mean, we saw Will Clark, who was the latest addition. He was a Bengals cast off that Jay Hayes opted to continue to work with down here. I don't know that he's Jacquees Smith, though, who was a great find by Jason Light a couple years ago. And we're going to have to see Jacquees Smith not just come back from that knee injury, but he's going to have to come back like his old self and get after the passer, because, like you said, Trevor, outside of Gerald McCoy, this team does not have a pass rush.
Yeah, well, we go back to the injury list, because that's not all.
Yeah, Levante David is the most serious one. Levante David,
yeah,
with 3 minutes left in the game, and I'm sorry, I know injuries can happen at any time, but that game is over,
yeah,
and it's time to put in Cam Lynch and Adarius Lane, who's already, I guess, mm-hmm, in the game. But, you know, you got to take your stars off the field. There's no reason for Gerald McCoy and Levante David to be on the field.
For Gerald to get hurt, have to come off, and then to go back in. Why?
Twice.
Yeah, yeah, that just,
at
that's
some point
puzzling.
In time, you got to sit there and say, hey, we're going to have to wave the white flag, throw in the towel, and live to fight another day. I mean, if Dirk Cutter is going to sit there and tell Jameis, sometimes you got to take the sack, sometimes you got to throw the ball away,
right,
and punt. Punting's not a bad thing. You know what? Keeping your players healthy. And this is the guy who had the softest Bucs training camp I've seen. And, you know, he wanted to get everybody healthy to week one, which he did. Of course, there was no week one with the bye week, but everyone was healthy,
right,
heading into that Bears game. And now it's like a MASH unit all over again. And the other guy that I think is probably, and I'm speculating, but probably with cause, I think Cam Brate's going to be in the concussion protocol.
Yep.
He took a wicked hit by safety Andrew Sendejo of the Vikings after his touchdown catch. And why there was no targeting call on that was beyond me. Not that the 15 yards would have done anything,
right,
to affect the game, but for these jackass referees.
Yeah, the inconsistencies.
It's the worst when it comes to targeting. It is so bad. The inconsistency from these officials, mm-hmm, on the targeting call. They'll sit there and throw it on a play that's not targeting, and then on a play that's clearly targeting, when, you know, Cam Brate is like a second away from going into a coma.
Right.
They're not going to call it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know how you missed that.
And you know what? In my SRS Fab 5, when I went around the locker room, and I wrote about it this week, and that was the number one rule change that the players wanted to see, was they want targeting to be reviewable, like it is in college. I think college football has a lot of things going for it, a lot of things right, and that's one of them. First of all, if you target, they eject you. But they review every targeting play in college to determine not only was there targeting where the player is going to either stay in the game or be ejected, but if there's no targeting, then there's no foul either. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the way it should be. I was very ticked off to see the officiating in this game too. And there was also a questionable call, Trevor and Mark, right around the goal line on Dalvin Cook's touchdown.
Yeah, that was the questionable call. There was the fact that the ball popped out of Dalvin Cook's hands, like as it reached the goal line.
Chris Conte punched it out.
Yeah, he did. Normally, when something like that happens and it's so fast, you think, because the rule is, if any part of the ball goes across any part of the plane, it's a touchdown.
Right.
Whether it
plays
gets,
over,
yes,
touchdown.
That's it. And so, like, normally, I get it. You would assume that because it's moving that fast,
yeah,
you would just give him the touchdown. But the guy who gave him the touchdown, the sideline judge, the goal line judge, whatever you want to call it, dude threw his hands up and said touchdown. He could not even see
his
the ball.
His view was impeded.
He could not even see the ball. And we watched it on replay, and we were watching it on replay, and then even whoever was doing the play-by-play or the color, I can't remember, was basically like, that's out.
Yeah.
That ball's out.
Yeah.
But the problem is that he called
Chris
it a
Spielman.
Touchdown on the field.
Well,
and you can't overturn it.
Well, the thing is you have to have indisputable video evidence to overturn it. But here's my thing. If I'm the official and I'm looking at the instant replay and I see that my linesman, his view is impeded, okay, and he's making the call and it looks like the ball is out. It looks like the ball is out right before it crosses the goal line, but that can't be determined that he even scored the touchdown,
right,
much less fumbled. I'm going to go with the best view, which was the instant replay camera angles.
Right.
That's the correct call. Now, we're not trying to sugarcoat this game. We're not trying to put lipstick on a pig.
No, they would have lost this
game
regardless.
Yes, yeah, right.
And also, I didn't get a chance to go back and look at the penalty again, but The T.J. Ward hold in the end zone was a huge call.
Yeah.
Looked to me like an almost uncatchable ball.
It was totally uncatchable.
Now, again, a hold is a hold. You don't say, well, it's uncatchable, so you can hold. You cannot call pass interference if they rule the ball as uncatchable. But happens, you know, beforehand. But what did you guys think about that call? It was minimal at best if it was there. I didn't see a jersey, handful of jerseys.
It just seemed like the Vikings got some home cooking today. Even on Charles Sims's catch and run, they picked up a first down.
The DeMar Dotson.
That was a very, very ticky-tack call because he had a great block on, I guess it was Xavier Rhodes on that play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Rhodes turned his shoulder. It wasn't like DeMar Dotson, you know, grabbed him from the back of the jersey. He simply turned his shoulder as DeMar was falling on top of him. There's nothing DeMar Dotson could have done to avoid that supposed holding call. I don't think that's the kind of call that should have been made. The refs missed a lot of calls, and then they called some absolute crap calls that I think had no business being called. So I think it was a very poor day for the officiating. But let's get back to the heart of the matter, which was very, very poor play by the Buccaneers. The refs didn't do many favors, but gosh, the Buccaneers didn't do themselves any favors either with no pass rush. Let's stay on that topic for a second. Bark and Trevor, when you saw Mike Smith dial up the blitz and bring the nickel, bring Levante David on those blitzes, it's like the Vikings had an answer. Case Keenum simply just dumped the check off to Dalvin Cook, who had a huge day today against the Bucs.
Yeah, and you know, the frustrating thing is I thought this was a different defense, and it is, and I'm not going to panic after one loss like this. I mean, this is still a defense that is improved over last year talent-wise when you look at it on paper and played pretty well down the stretch, one of the top defenses in the league for a long stretch last year. But at the same time, you know, I just would have bet everything I had that there's no way that Case Keenum would beat the Buccaneers. And my thought was the Buccaneers could lose, but it wouldn't be Case Keenum beating them. It was Case Keenum beating the Buccaneers for the third straight year.
I tweeted this a couple times on the Peter Report account during the game. Chess and checkers. That's what I said every time. And it was because the Vikings came out, they had the ball first, they scored a touchdown, set the entire tone for the drive. Then the Bucs don't get a touchdown back. Couple punts after that here and there. Case Keenum, they let him throw the ball early.
They got him into a rhythm.
But it wasn't even that they got him into a rhythm. The first pass of the game was that bomb.
Down to Thielen,
Like, they trusted this dude like he was a playoff quarterback.
Yeah.
And he completely delivered. And when you brought up the pressure there, when Mike Smith started to dial up the pressure, it was as if Minnesota went, everything's according to plan.
Yeah.
Going to phase two. Now they're blitzing. Now I know exactly what to do. Because from that moment on, they only called plays to get the ball out of Keenum's hand immediately. And he was more accurate than he's ever been. And the fact that he has the numbers that he does against the Buccaneers is mind-numbing.
Yeah.
Because they are so – and this game must have inflated them even more.
25
– he is so far ahead
25
of his averages.
Of 33 – against the Buccaneers for 369 yards, three touchdowns.
Unbelievable.
A quarterback rating of 142.1.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad rating. Good.
And Dalvin Cook, Mark, I believe it was this summer, you went on record saying that Dalvin Cook would get 200 against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, but I also said the Buccaneers would win by one, so I was wrong about both those things.
Yeah,
almost.
But you're close. I mean, Dalvin Cook, 97 yards, got his first NFL touchdown. On the ground and then through the air on those checkdowns, 5 catches, 72 yards, and then had a big 36-yard gain as well. So,
I truly could not believe what I was watching. How he looked as good as he did against the Buccaneers defense for the third time in a row. So, what do you know? I guess.
Well, when you look at Jameis Winston, 28 out of 40. 328 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's the bad thing about this game is not only did the Buccaneers defense not get to the quarterback, they didn't get any takeaways. You know, and this is a defense that thrived on takeaways down the stretch last year. If you don't get takeaways in this league, it's going to be tough stuff.
This was almost the exact formula that the Buccaneers beat the Bears with essentially last week.
Yeah.
26 yards rushing for this team, 9 carries. The Bears had 22 yards rushing last week, I think it was. you know, three turnovers by the offense. And you know, it just goes to show you, you've got to eliminate turnovers on your part and create them on the defense. And they didn't even come close to really. Yeah. I mean, the one now, Chris Conte, that should have been a turnover there on that first one. But they didn't come close to intercepting Keenum at all.
No. That's why I'm serious, man. Chess versus checkers. He didn't even take a pass that was a risk.
Right.
Yeah.
Every ball.
But he didn't have to. Everybody was just running free in that secondary. Yeah, I tweeted on my account at one point. It was almost if like what film did the Buccaneers watch? It's not like the Vikings redesigned their offense for this game.
No. Right?
They're running the same routes they've been running. It's the same personnel other than Bradford in there. There wasn't anything different than what they've been doing, and yet it was like the Buccaneers. You know, it was almost like a preseason game where they don't game plan for it. Yeah, and I know that they did.
Yeah. But it seemed like It seemed like it didn't even matter though. When you look at the Buccaneers, you mentioned, you know, running. I mean, Tampa Bay had 26 yards on 9 carries, and
that's
listen,
so bad.
What does that say?
You can't win a football game.
Does that say that they don't have the confidence in the offensive line and in Jaquizz Rodgers to get the job done?
It means they don't trust Jaquizz Rodgers.
Yeah,
I don't care what they can say whatever they want at the podium, but when you run the ball 5 times with your leading rusher and he has 15 yards, whatever, man, you don't trust your run game.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
Your defense is gassed. Players are getting hurt, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff, and you just won't run the ball.
Yep.
That means that they don't think Jaquizz Rodgers can be dynamic enough to be handed the ball in this offense. And they think, now granted, there are a couple of really good throws. Like, they think that they are more dynamic as a passing offense. And that may be even true when Doug Martin comes back, but the ratio cannot stay what it is right now. Because now it's like 75% pass, 25% run. And that number has got to be way closer to 40-60 at least.
No, it certainly does. And the other thing is when you take into consideration that Tampa Bay is a play-action-based passing team, and if you're not running the ball more than 9 times a game, it really doesn't allow Dirk Cutter and Jameis Winston much of a chance to throw the ball, because then you know that they're going to be throwing the ball. And of course, when you're down 21-3 at halftime,
that does not help being down that much.
But the thing is, though, is when you don't convert a third down until 10 minutes and 22 seconds left in the third quarter,
not great.
That kills your defense.
Not great.
And without a proven running game, and I think the biggest question mark, and you mentioned this during the game, Trevor, is where's Peyton Barber? We saw Charles Sims have 2 carries for 4 yards. Rodgers had 5 for 15.
They just don't trust him, man.
I guess not.
They just don't trust
him. He's the most productive running back that they have.
I don't know. Maybe I'm way off, but it almost that game plan, and Cutter said after the game that okay, the Vikings did some things that made them change the way that they went about offense, and it's like okay, I get that, but. You can't go away from the run game that bad.
I agree. Can't.
Now, Buccaneers come back and face. Now, first of all, again, listen, it's not all gloom and doom. The Buccaneers were in this position last year. They bounced back. They almost made the playoffs. But you know, there's a lot of games left to go in this year. There's 14 more games to go. Starting next week against the Giants, who surprisingly, who saw this team as an 0-3 football team? They lost again on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is we were talking about this before the podcast. This is just a wacky week because you got the Saints going into Carolina and winning 34-13. You've got the Bills handily beating the Broncos 26-16.
Weird.
The Bears beating the Steelers in overtime 23-17.
Weird.
The Colts with Jacoby Brissett beating the Browns 31-28. The Texans almost pulling off the upset against the Patriots, losing 36-33. You've got the Jets beating the Dolphins 20-6 behind Luke McCown. Josh McCown,
Josh.
Or some McCown.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a crazy week, you know?
Well, and you know, listen, I don't know. Is it better that the Giants are 0-3 or 3-0 coming into this game? Does it matter?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think what matters is the fact that the Giants put up 24 points in the fourth quarter. It took them a while to get their offense clicking, but they can, I think, take a little bit of confidence into the fact that the Tampa Bay is not going to score that much. The Bucs defense is banged up and susceptible.
Well, let's look at the
Bucs. It's going to be a tough game.
Who can we expect to play next week on the Buccaneers defense? Quan should be back.
I don't know that.
Maybe.
I don't know that. If he didn't practice at all this week, if he wasn't even like limited, trust me, I'm dealing with a hamstring tear,
right?
And I'm a 45-year-old man.
Yeah.
But I'm nowhere near recovery, and it's been 2 months, okay? And
we Scott's been doubtful for the Fab Five for months. Yeah. You guys don't realize that, like, he's had to put the team on his back, play through injury. You know, he realizes that there's only so many Fridays in a season.
I've essentially had to do the Fab Five on one leg.
Man.
Okay. I'm just, you know, telling it like it is.
He's out here, man.
Grimes has got to be back.
I would think Grimes would be back. And that's big because who's going to cover Odell Beckham Jr.?
If Grimes is not back, they're in trouble.
We also saw Hargraves twice bang his in. I mean, have an ankle issue or something with his leg and go out of the game. He came back. But, you know. They're dropping like flies in that secondary, and that's not a good thing. I mean,
is there any correlation to the Bucs having the softest training camp?
No.
In these injuries, just are happening, right? No. Just because they're happening.
Yeah, it's just football.
I can't say that there's any proof to that. I mean, Dirk certainly studies those things a lot more than we do, and would probably have more evidence. Is the reason that he did it, and that's probably why. I don't think that has anything to do with these injuries.
You know what the big thing with the Giants is, though? Like, their wide receivers are going to be what they are. If the Bucs can't get pass rush against the New York Giants offensive line,
which might be the worst outside of Seattle,
which is basically a bottom three offensive line, no question, in football, then the Buccaneers are in trouble.
Yeah, and Eli Manning is not exactly fleet of foot.
If the Bucs cannot get to Eli Manning, I'm just telling you guys. Like, this week, and we've talked about it here on the podcast, we talked about it before the podcast, like, perspective's a big deal. You know, we talked about Green Bay, too. You know, like, how awesome has it been for Green Bay fans over the last couple of years? They got Rodgers, you know, they got a GM and a team that always puts them in a position to win, and here they are, you know, wonky to start the year, and they're losing to the Bengals as we talk about this podcast. And so, like, you know, just perspective every single week, knowing that each week, every team in the NFL, these are professionals. Mm-hmm. They got a chance to beat anybody every single week.
They really have to beat the Giants next week, though, Trev, because if they don't, you're going to have the Patriots on Thursday night. That's going to be a loss.
I'm telling you right now, that's
going to be a loss.
That's what I'm saying. If you can't get after the Giants offensive line, then this is going to be a long season.
Yeah.
Because the offensive lines will not get any worse than the Giants is. Yeah. So
no, I hear
that's,
you.
I'm not one to hit panic buttons or even like present panic buttons within the first fourth of the season, but holy cow, man, they have to win that game.
I'll say this. I did not have a very good week on mybookie.ag, and it's a good reason why. There's a good reason why I don't give out betting advice for that reason, because this was not my week. But I'll tell you what, there might be some fans that are wanting to put some money down, and I'm not saying this sacrilegiously, but if Tom Brady comes, you know, into this game, really, what next Thursday? Well, not next Thursday, but
a week from Thursday.
Yep. If this team doesn't have the pass rush going, if this defense doesn't get its act together, and the offense can't match Brady touchdown for touchdown the way that Deshaun Watson did for quite a while in this Patriots-Texans game, it might be a long day, and there might be some fans out there that want to put some money on the Patriots. But I'll tell you what, if you do want to get into some betting, if you want to get in some action, whether it's college football, pro football, any sport, mybookie.ag is the place to go. We all have accounts with them. It's fun to do. This week, not so fun, but listen, mybookie.ag has been in this business for years. They do 100% cash bonuses, so right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. They give the fastest payouts, seriously, 2 business days. So if you know who's going to win and you want to lay some cash and win big, do it at mybookie.ag. I'm only going to recommend a service that's been good to me, and that's mybookie.ag. Join now. They'll match your deposit with 100% bonus. Use the promo code PEWTER to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So I want to throw this out there. This is my last, I guess, parting shot for this podcast is what does this defense look like without Quan Alexander and Lavonte David next week against the New York Giants? What does that look like when you've got Cameron Lynch, Adarius Lanton, and the rookie Kendall Beckwith as your linebacking core against Eli Manning?
Those guys are fine if you can get pressure.
But they're not going to. We haven't seen any evidence that this team is going to get pressure.
Well, you said it earlier. Jaquie Smith has got to come back sooner rather than later. He probably would have been back this week, but was dealing with the illness situation.
Right.
So they're going to need him to come back, but not just come back to produce. But, I mean, how good is he going to be? He hasn't played football in over a year, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that as well. Maybe it works to his advantage. Maybe the fresh, springy legs, all of those things. But you wonder if he's going to favor that knee a little bit.
I'd like to see Devontae Bond get some more edge work, too. Because, obviously, whatever they're doing now is not working.
Right. Yeah.
And Devontae Bond could rush the passer at Oklahoma. So, like, just give the dude a shot. I don't like the whole the old idea of just playing him at a linebacker, man. Put him at defensive end. I don't care.
Kendall Beckwith whatever also is working rushed right from now, the defensive end spot at LSU as well. I don't think they can do that now.
Yeah,
I know.
Sam. You know, like if you have the other two dudes back, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Not
they can't now.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to need him at linebacker. Now. Right. But here's the thing. It's like when you look at the Buccaneers, if they don't win this Giants game, okay, if you know right now they're 1-1, if they fall to 1-2, and then the Patriots come to town, and you know they fall to 1-3. This team had to expend so much energy on a run last year, and they still came up short. I mean, if I'll you know let you guys know that this team started off 1-3 last year, right? And then they won two games. They won the Monday night game. Then they had the bye week, which they don't have this year.
Actually,
and then they beat the 49ers, but then they lost two more games to the Raiders and the Falcons. So at one point in time, the Buccaneers were 3-5, and then they went on their 6-2 run.
I believe I had the Bucs in our season predictions starting 1-3.
Did you have them this banged up?
No.
That's
no,
the X factor.
No. I had them starting 1-3, but I have them finishing 10-6. So, I mean, you could do it. Because I had them losing to the – I had them beating the – what did
Bears.
I have? Well, I had them beating the Bears. I had them losing to the Vikings. I had them losing to the Giants. I had them losing to the Patriots. So –
well, we will see what happens. We'll know a little bit more later this week when we do another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. We'll be at One Buccaneer Place starting on Monday with Dirk Cutter's press conference and open locker room. Then they're off on Tuesday, then back to work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll get another podcast in at some point this week, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more idea about the injury situation. We appreciate everybody listening. No gloom and doom. It's concerning.
Perspective.
That's the way you got to look at it.
Just I mean, a week.
There's no way Pittsburgh fans thought they were going to go to Chicago after Chicago got blown out last week and come away with a loss. I mean,
but wouldn't you feel better if this team was 1-1, but was a lot healthier?
Oh yeah,
sure. That to me is the biggest concern, not the loss so much, but the injuries.
Not great.
That have come with it.
Not great.
All righty. My Mark Cook for Trevor Sikkema and Scott Reynolds. We will see you later in the week with another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.